there is a word from the Lord today. I don't know who it's for, but somebody needs this word. It did a work in me, and I pray it's going to do a work in you. Won't you stand for the reading of our scripture coming from the book of Hebrews, chapter 10, verses 8 through 18, and I'm reading from the New International Version. And it reads this way. First he, meaning Christ, said, sacrifices and offerings, burnt offerings and sin offerings you did not desire, nor were you pleased with them, though they were offered in accordance with the law. Then he, again meaning Christ, said, here I am. I have come to do your will. He sets aside the first to establish the second. And by that will, we have been made holy through the sacrifice of the body of Jesus Christ once for all. Day after day, every priest stands and performs his religious duties. Again and again, he offers the same sacrifices, which can never take away sins. But when this priest, meaning Christ, had offered for all time one sacrifice for sins, he sat down at the right hand of God, and since that time he waits for his enemies to be made his footstool. For by one sacrifice he has made perfect forever those who are being made holy. The Holy Spirit also testifies to us about this. First, he says, this is the covenant I will make with them after that time, says the Lord. I will put my laws in their hearts and I will write them on their minds. Then he adds, their sins and lawless acts I will remember no more. And where these have been forgiven, sacrifice for sin is no longer necessary. The word of God for the people of God, won't you say thanks be unto God? Amen, amen, amen. The year 2020 was probably one of the most challenging years that any of us have ever had to endure. It was, no joke, a very hard year. There was the pandemic to deal with and all that came with it. We were shut down, shut up, and shut in. And listen, some folks still are. We were separated from loved ones. A whole lot of folk got sick, and many folk died. Racial injustice, if you remember, was rampant. Black and brown men, women, and young people died in the streets on the regular at the hands of police. Social injustice was at an all-time high as poor folk got poorer and rich folk got richer at the expense of poor folk. But on top of all that, the frustrations of everyday life continued unabated. Not only were grocery store shelves bare and necessities being rationed, but appliances stopped working, cars stopped running, and computers stopped computing. In 2020, we were reminded, or for some of us, we just rediscovered that everything in this world, everything in this life is temporary. Relationships break up, jobs terminate, even physical life comes to an end. We're now in 2023, and although the pandemic has eased a bit, things are still hard. But one thing I learned to do in 2020, that helps me even now in 2023 is to look for the silver lining, so to speak. I intentionally look for things to feel joyful about. As hard as it was, I was determined to find some joy. I don't know about you, but in some ways, keeping my sanity depended on it. My ability to just keep going depended on it. Truth is, the joy of the Lord is my strength. But that joy doesn't always just come. Joy in the midst of a storm, when everything in your life is falling apart, when sickness and death are all around you, when injustice is a way of life, doesn't come naturally or easy. Don't kid yourself. It doesn't come easily. That's why Paul tells us in Philippians 4:4 to rejoice in the Lord always. And then he says again, I will say rejoice. You got to understand that this is an exhortation, and it suggests that joy is not a natural state of affairs, but one that you've got to cultivate. We've got to stoke it. We've got to feed it. Let me help somebody this morning. When times are dark and chaos is all around you, when gloom is so thick, you can see it, you can taste it, you can feel it. You gotta encourage yourself in the Lord. And then the joy starts welling up in your spirit. Don't think for a minute that you can just sit idly by and allow overwhelming circumstances to surround you and do nothing and still feel joy. No, you got to remember the things that God has done for you. You got to remember what God has brought you through. You got to remember where God has brought you from. You got to come to worship and be encouraged by the saints of God and be reminded of who God is and just how good God is. And then the joy comes. I stopped by this morning to let you know that things may still be hard. Everything in life may be or at least seem temporary. Things may still change and things may still stop working, but there's one thing that's permanent. One thing that never changes. One thing that never stops working. And it's the one thought that never ceases to bring joy to my soul. When everything else fails, the blood still works. When everything else terminates, breaks down, or comes to an end, the blood still works. When everything else stops working, stops running, stops computing, the blood still works. We can rejoice, my brothers and sisters, because the blood still works. And it will never lose its power. Come on, somebody. That's what Hebrews 10 wants us to know this morning. The blood still works. And it will never, never, ever, ever lose its power. Let me expand on this thought a little bit. Someone wrote that the Bible is a bloody book. Cut it anywhere and it bleeds. There's a scarlet thread. There's blood running through the Bible from Genesis to Revelation. This and other passages in Hebrews reminds us of that. In Genesis, God killed an animal. He shed the blood of an animal to cover the sin and shame of Adam and Eve in the Garden of Eden. The blood and the animal skins covered up the sin and the shame, but the sin and the shame was still there. Move on a little further to Exodus, and we see God have Israel shed the blood of a lamb without spot or blemish and place the blood over the doorposts of their houses so that the death angel would pass over them and they would be saved. But that was just a temporary fix. Once they left the house, the blood no longer covered them, and it no longer worked. Go on a little further to Deuteronomy and Leviticus. God had Israel shed the blood of animals to atone for their sins. Once a year, the high priest would enter the Holy of Holies, the most holy place, and sprinkle the blood of the prescribed animal on the altar to atone for the sins of the people. But that ritual, as Hebrews reminds us, had to be repeated year after year because it too was a temporary fix. Now, this Old Testament salvation was just a shadow of the good thing to come in Christ Jesus. Fast forward to the New Testament. Jesus shed his blood on our behalf, and it was a permanent fix. As Hebrews says, when this priest had offered for all time one sacrifice for sins, he sat down at the right hand of God, and since that time he waits for his enemies to be made his footstool. For by one sacrifice he has made perfect forever those who are being made holy. That's a shout line, y'all. That's good news. We're the ones he has made perfect forever, and we are the ones who are being made holy. All you need to sustain yourself in this life and guarantee you eternal life is the coverage of the blood of Jesus, and only the blood that Jesus provided. The truth is, though, that some of us have a difficult time embracing the idea that the blood is all we need. I get so sad, and I hear it all the time, when people say they're working to make it into heaven. Listen, the blood of Jesus is all you need to make your salvation sure and permanent. But you know what? I think one of the main things that keeps people confused is songs. Now, I love Christian songs and I love gospel songs, but some of our most beloved Christian songs are based on bad theology. What you talking about, preacher? What I'm talking about is that there are songs that we love that get the gospel wrong. Yeah. All right. Listen, in one of my favorite songs, the songwriter says, I'm coming up the rough side of the mountain. I'm doing my best to make it in. No, you're not. Or at least you shouldn't be trying to make it in. If you are saved, if you're covered by the blood, you're guaranteed, hear me somebody, you're guaranteed to make it in. No, let me go one better. You're in. Why? Because you might have made a confession of faith in Jesus a long time ago, but the blood still works and it will never lose its power. Songwriter said, I think I'll run on and see what the end's gonna be. No, that's wrong. If you're saved, you're covered by the blood, and you ought to run on because you know what the end's gonna be. Yeah. You know what the end's gonna be. In the end, Satan is defeated, we get the victory, and we enter into the kingdom of heaven. Yeah. Songwriter said, and this is one of my favorite songs, God Is. It says, I've got to fast and pray, stay in the narrow way. I'll keep my life clean every day. I want to go with him when he comes back. I've come too far, and I'll never turn back. Now, as much as I love that song, that's just plain wrong. Fasting and praying is good. Staying in that narrow way and keeping your life clean is an admirable goal. If you can do it. But you gotta know that going with Jesus when he comes back has nothing to do with your ability to stay in that narrow way or keep your life clean every day. And if it was, God help us. It's not about what you can do. Let me say that again. It's not about what you can do. It has everything to do with what Christ has already done for you that you could not and cannot do for yourself. Now, I'm not suggesting that we retire these songs because they have value. And these songs have brought some folk to Christ. But you need to understand this morning that if you're saved, you don't have to do your best to make it in. You're in. You don't have to run on and see what the end's going to be. You know what the end's going to be. If you want to go with him when he comes back, you don't have to do. You just have to be. You just have to be saved and covered by the blood of Jesus. That's it. Of all the Christian songs that I like, I'm particularly fond of what we used to call blood songs. Y'all remember when we used to sing blood songs on First Sunday? I love blood songs. They're good theology songs. And, you know, we may not sing about the blood much anymore. And we may not preach about the blood much anymore. And we may not even think about the blood much anymore. But thanks be unto God. Nothing that we do or don't do diminishes God's power one bit. And the blood still works. And it will never lose its power. I like songs like Nothing But the Blood of Jesus. The song asks the questions, what can wash away my sin? What can make me whole again? And then the songwriter answers, nothing but the blood of Jesus. And then it says, oh, precious is the flow that makes me white as snow. No other fount I know, nothing but the blood of Jesus. I like songs like there is a fountain. There is a fountain filled with blood drawn from Emmanuel's veins. And sinners, that's us, plunged beneath that flood, lose all, not some, but lose all our guilty stains. I like blood songs that remind us when we feel hopeless that we can have hope no matter the circumstances. Songs like, my hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. I dare not trust the sweetest frame, but wholly lean on Jesus' name, on Christ, the solid rock I stand. All other ground is sinking sand. All other ground is sinking sand. The power of the blood didn't end at Calvary. It didn't end in the grave that Joseph of Arimathea provided. It didn't end on Resurrection Sunday morning. Even though the blood was shed 2,000 years ago, it's still good today. And it still has the same saving power and cleansing power and healing power and delivering power and resurrecting power and sustaining power even now. Let me give you some advice. When you're feeling kind of down, feeling kind of stressed, feeling kind of worried, get yourself a blood song, because those songs remind us that the blood still works and it will never lose its power. You may not feel saved, but you're still saved because the blood still works. You got baptized at some time in the past, and that's great, but the water can't save you. If your heart hasn't changed, all you did was go down a dry, unsaved sinner and come up a wet, unsaved sinner. You join the church at some point in your life. You go to church every Sunday. That's great too. But that can't save you. It's about receiving Christ as your Savior. It's all about the shed blood of Jesus Christ. When you're sick in your body, remember, the blood still works. When your mind is troubled by the cares of the world, remember, the blood still works. When loved ones leave you high and dry, remember, the blood still works. When your money is funny and bills are due, remember, the blood still works. The blood is still breaking strongholds. The blood is still transforming lives. The blood is still changing lives. The blood still works. What is it that you're needing today? Whatever you need, God's got it. Listen, let me say that again. Whatever you need, God's got it. I can't promise you that sickness will never visit you. But what I can tell you is that if you just touch the hem of his garment, you will be made whole. I can't promise you you'll live forever on this side. But what I can say is that if you're a child of God, you'll live forever with the Lord. I can't promise you wealth. But what I can tell you is that my God will supply all your needs according to his riches of glory in Christ Jesus. I can't promise you a life with no struggles, that you'll never have a lion's den or a fiery furnace experience. But what I can tell you is that Jesus will be with you in it. I can't promise you that death will not visit your house. But what can I tell you is that he'll turn your mourning into dancing. He'll turn your sorrows into joy. I can't promise you that you'll never taste unemployment. But what I can tell you is that he'll make a way out of no way. I can't promise you that you'll never face danger. But what I can say is that you're divinely protected and you need not fear. They may take your body, but God will have your soul. I can't promise you that you'll never face rejection. But what I can tell you is that God will always love you. His grace means that no matter what you do or who you are, God can't love you anymore and God can't love you any less. Why can I tell you all these things? Because the blood still works and it will never lose its power. You know, I've seen folk get happy about money they say the Lord blessed them with, and that's good. I've seen folk get all emotional and praise God for healing their bodies. And if God has healed you, you ought to praise him. I've seen folks shed tears because the Lord turned some things around for them. Feel free. Go on and bless his holy name. But we all ought to get happy. We all ought to shout. We all ought to shed some tears because the blood the blood does. Colossians 1:14 says, we have redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of sins. There was a price against us we could not pay, but the blood paid the price. Colossians 1:20 says, we have made peace through the blood of his cross. We were once at war with God, but the blood sealed the peace treaty between us and God. 1 John 1:7 says, we have cleansing. Hallelujah. Cleansing in the blood of Jesus. And that cleansing is a complete cleansing. Not only does it remove the punishment of sin, it removes the pollution of sin. Not only does it cover the sin and shame, it removes the sin and shame. It doesn't matter what sin you've committed. The blood of Jesus Christ, his son, cleanses us from all sins. All sins, past, present, and future. How good is our God? And not only that, but because of the blood Christ shed for me, way back on Calvary, my sin debt is paid in full. Once and for all, I'm justified. It's as though I never sinned. I am forgiven. There is now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus. I am spiritually alive. I have the power to overcome the enemy. I can declare total victory. I am no longer under the curse of the law. I am no longer a stranger to the covenant of promise. I have gained the unmerited favor of God. I have gained eternal life. I have been declared righteous. I am no longer condemned. I've been set free. Set free, and so have you. Songwriter wrote, I am free. Praise the Lord. I'm free, no longer bound, no more chains holding me. My soul is resting. It's just a blessing. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. I'm free. I'm free to be all has created me to be, and so are you. You know, another reason it's so hard to accept that we're saved forever by the blood of Jesus and that the blood is still working. There's this question I find myself asking myself, and you probably do too. If I've been made holy through the blood sacrifice of Jesus Christ once for all, why do I still act so unholy? Why do I still mess up all the time? And that question puts a doubt in my head. But I want you to know this morning that Hebrews 10 provides an answer for us. You see, salvation is already, but not yet. Verse 10 says that we have been made holy. But verse 14 changes the verb and says that we are being made holy. What it's saying is that we are positionally holy in Christ, but we are not yet personally holy in our lives. We've been declared righteous, so we are holy in God's sight, but we haven't yet achieved personal holiness, personal righteousness. And as verse 13 says, we wait, as Jesus does, for his second coming, when all his enemies will be made his footstool. We're tainted saints, y'all. But because the blood still works and will never lose its power, when God looks at us, he doesn't see the stain of our sin. He doesn't see our mess ups. He sees the blood of Jesus all over us. Saving blood, atoning blood, cleansing blood, redeeming blood. And if you look at verse 17, it assures us that God doesn't remember our sins and lawless acts anymore. Imagine such a gift. Christ died for us, took all of our sins on himself so that we don't have to carry them. So never doubt that you're going to make it in. You're in. But you know what makes me so absolutely sure that the blood still works and that it will never lose its power? Let me tell you one reason. I was watching a documentary about Whitney Houston some time ago, and they showed some footage. She was at a club, and she was asked to sing. It wasn't a planned performance. Whitney was high as a kite. I don't know what she was on, but she was clearly as high as she could be. Whitney got up, went up on the stage, and started to sing with everything she had from the very depths of her soul. She sang, I love the Lord. He heard my cry and pitied every groan. Long as I live and troubles rise, I'll hasten to his throne. No matter what state she was in, the Spirit of God was still alive in her because of the power of the blood of Jesus. The blood does something Alcoholics Anonymous cannot do. It does something drug rehab cannot do. It does something that a New Year's resolution cannot do. It changes a sinner to a saint. It doesn't give him or her a heart makeover. It gives him or her a new heart, a heart for God. And it never stops working. God, my brothers and sisters, gives us room and space to grow into Christ's likeness. It doesn't happen overnight. That's why we continue to mess up. And complete Christ's likeness will not come in this life. But while we're struggling to become who God has called us to be, we're covered by the blood. God is patient with us. I heard the scripture this morning. He has compassion for us. He understands our weaknesses, and he never gives up on us. It doesn't matter how trifling and sorry you are. Doesn't matter how bad you are or think you are. It doesn't matter how many wrongs you've committed. Doesn't matter how far you've fallen. If you've accepted Christ as your Savior, you've gotten the one thing right. The only thing right that matters. You're covered by the blood. The blood still works. It never stops working, and it will never lose its power. You ought to give God some praise for the blood.